It's a marvelous thing to be justified. One thing I didn't mention this morning, and I should do that. You wondered why it looks so nice in the church today. It's because our teens spent a lot of time yesterday inside and out, and they did a great work. We appreciate our young people. They ministered to us in song today, and they ministered to us in labor. Physical labor yesterday. We appreciate that very much. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Ezra. Turn to the book of Ezra, we'll be looking at this passage of Scripture that we've been dealing with here, but we're going to go to the fifth chapter today. Ezra chapter 5, as you're going there, we've noted that in the book of Ezra, we're following the account of the remnant of the Israelites who have returned from Babylon to rebuild the temple. We noted their initial dedication, their enthusiasm for the work. We rejoiced with them and wept with them as we have sought to put ourselves in their place. We rejoiced with them in the laying of the foundation, feeling the joy of seeing God intercede on their behalf, especially as we thought of how he raised up King Cyrus and caused him to give instructions for them to go and to build the temple and to restore the treasures that were hauled off from Israel, from Jerusalem, from the temple. We also saw that they were able to reestablish their worship, the sacrifices there given to them by God centuries before. But we then had to weep with them as there were those who we saw their feeling as those that had seen the first temple, they were dismayed at what they had lost. The grandeur of the first temple was not to be. It wasn't to be the glory of the last temple. They would not have what they had lost. However, we soon read the rebuke of the Lord through the prophets when he told them, don't despise the day of small things. The Lord let them know that you don't measure blessing by the size and the grandeur of a building. We mentioned in that as well, nor by the multitudes of people. The blessing of the Lord is not necessarily in that. It may or may not be. Haggai the prophet was sent to speak unto them, and he gives them encouraging words from the Lord. We read some of those encouraging words that he gave to them last time in the second chapter of Haggai, where in the fourth verse he says, be strong, all ye people of the land. I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, my spirit remains with you. Don't fear. I'll shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I'll shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, he said. We remember that the work of the Lord continued, and it was going full swing until there were other hindrances that were thrown in the way. There was frustration. There was discouragement. We saw where they had hired counselors were hired against them. As counselors were hired against them, and there was that that was, and the obstacles were thrown in the way. That came in the form. Trouble in the form of the people of the land. They were people of the land were afraid of of them again becoming a political power. They didn't like the sight of these coming in back into the land and going back in and restoring their homes. So they hired counselors against them. There were false accusations that were made, and they were sent to the new king, Artaxerxes, that is there in Babylon. He was warned of, you're going to lose your tax money. You're going to lose your political power if you allow them to continue. And so in the fourth chapter, the 21st verse, we saw where Artaxerxes ordered a stop. So soon the work stopped. They were wore down. They were tired of fighting. There's no evidence that they made appeal to the Lord or to man, but they went back to their houses. They went back to their homes, and they left the work of the building of the temple. They had their homes. They had their families. No, they didn't have their place of worship. They didn't have the house of prayer that was to be built. But they went back to their homes. Remember that Zechariah in the third chapter, the first four verses, remember, he identified the real problem. I mean, it was the people. There were people there that were causing the discouragement, but he let them know that they were under the attack of Satan. They had fallen for an old ploy of Satan's, and that is accuse the brethren. Satan is known as the accuser of the brethren. So we use people to frustrate and discourage. And consequently, they got their eyes off the Lord. And then Satan gained a victory. And the temple was not being built. The time lapse between chapters 4 and chapters 5, it's probably about 15 years. So when we come to Ezra, when we come to Ezra, the fifth chapter, it says, when I want, it was in the, just a minute, I lost my place here. Let me change my thought there a moment. Just to go to where this chapter in Ezra 5, it gives a lot of insight into what happens when men lose their priorities. What happens when men lose their priorities? And, you know, as you follow what was happening here and where they've gone, they lost their priorities, and they lost the blessing of God on their lives. You know, we could say the same thing, because it gives insight what happens to men, what happens to women, what happens to fathers, what happens to mothers and children when they lose their priorities. They lose the blessing of God. They lose the blessing of God on their lives. So the title of my message this morning is Victory Over Lost Priorities. Victory Over Lost Priorities. Yes, they lost their priorities. They quit. They didn't go to the Lord. They went back to their homes, seemingly satisfied with just their homes. They've lost what the Lord had for them, but here we see victory. Victory over those lost priorities. And you come to the first verse then of Ezra 5. It says, then the prophets, Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. And then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God which is in Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. So there's the preaching of God's word. The Lord raises up here. They've been back home. You know, you don't think about it, but when you recognize the time, it was in the 24th verse of chapter 4, the work had ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. So that's where the 15 years are, from the time that Artaxerxes had said it should cease. There's nothing done there for 15 years until the second year of Darius, a new king there in Persia and in Babylon. Then the Lord sends the prophets. God's word is going to be preached. God wants them to hear his word. He wants them to hear what he has to say. And the reason I'm going to both Zechariah today and Haggai is because it tells us what was preached. You know, here in the first verse, it just says, they preached, they prophesied unto the Jews, and then Zerubbabel rose up and says, okay, let's get to work. But I'd like you to see what was preached to them. We'd like you to see, and as we said, the lost priorities, and when I said they lost the blessing of God, I think we'll see in the verses that we read responsibly in Haggai, and also in Zechariah, that they were not under the blessing of God when they went back to their homes. So I'd like you to go to Zechariah. Go to the book of Zechariah. And Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi. We'll go back to Zechariah. And the first verse says, in the eighth month of the second year of Darius, so this fits with what it said about the second year of Darius in the end of chapter 4 of Ezra, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord hath been displeased with your fathers, saying therefore unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts. I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. He says, remember your fathers. The Lord was displeased with them, and he told them to repent. He says, be not, in verse 4, be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doing. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. He's talking about in their past history. He says, your fathers, where are they? Do they live forever? The obvious answer is no. But my words and my statutes, which I command you, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, Lord, as like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doing, so hath he dealt with us. See in your past how the Lord dealt with you, and the Lord did what he said he would do, and he brought judgment upon you. So there's the reminders from the Lord that Zechariah gives in his message, saying, think back to your fathers, think back how God dealt with them. And then we see the promises from the Lord beginning in verse 14 of Zechariah 1. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, I was but a little displeased, but they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. The Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. The Lord's telling him, hey, I'm not done. I'm not done. I have a very a special interest in Jerusalem. I have a special interest in Zion. This is very special to me. And I'm not happy with the heathen that are there in the land and with what they're doing. I'm coming to Jerusalem with mercy. My house is going to be built. Yes, he says, my cities through prosperity shall be spread abroad. The Lord will comfort Zion. You know, through Zechariah, the Lord is telling them, I'm not done. Here you are back in your homes as if I have not given commandment to do, as if this work is not to go forward, as if I'm done. You think that I'm done dealing with Jerusalem? You think I'm done setting up the job that I've given you to do? He's letting him know, no, not at all. I thought about that. I thought, you know how soon we forget when we get away from the word of the Lord. And we're not unlike the Israelites. We find ourselves in this place, forgetting the past, forgetting the warnings of God, and forgetting the promises of God. How many times do we forget and go our own way? Not remembering the judgments of God, not remembering the mercies of God, not remembering what the Lord has given us to do, being complacent in our own places, not carrying out what the Lord gives us to do. So there we have a message from Zechariah, a message just to remind them of what God plans to do. Now, what we read in Haggai is a little bit different, because Haggai goes to, he gets down very personal with them. He gets down, the Lord brings the word to Haggai that lets them know what has been going on, and they need to understand what their present circumstances are. So we go to Haggai, those verses that we read earlier, Haggai chapter 1. The second verse. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. See, they got frustrated. They got a command from Artaxerxes, stop building the house. Instead of going to the Lord, instead of seeking the Lord, what are we going to do here? Lord, we're up against an impasse. You told us to do this, and here we have this command. What are we to do? We don't find that. We don't find any appeal that has taken place, as I said. What's their attitude? Okay, it's not time. It's not time to do it. Time's not here. We'll just go back to our houses, and we'll just do our own thing. That's the Lord saying. He says, this people say the time has not come. But what's he saying in the third verse? Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye that dwell in your sealed houses? The word sealed there is the word in your paneled houses, your, You know, you got your walls all covered. You got everything fixed up really nice. You know, you've been back there in the land. Here they quit off building the temple. They went home, and they've got 15 years there now. They've just been building up their own places and making their houses really nice. And he says, is it time? You say it's not time to build, but is this the time for you to have your sealed houses? And what's the last part of that verse says? Is it time for you and your dwellings and this house lie waste? This house lies waste. It's like, you know, you put your home above God. You put your ways above God's ways. You know, you talk about misplaced priorities. Misplaced priorities. God's not first. You're going to do your own thing. You know, many today, on this Mother's Day, they'll miss the worship of God because we want to honor our mothers. And so we won't go to church today. We have to have this day to honor our mothers. You know, it is so important that we recognize the need to put God first in all things. I mean, certainly, is it not a good thing to honor your mother? Absolutely. I mean, that's a scriptural principle, right? But do we put one above another? There are so many ways that we can get our priorities out of kelder, even for good things. Good things, things that are important, but what is the priority? What is the priority? A number of years ago, I had somebody give me an illustration, and I've given it here. It's been some time. But they said one was given these large stones and smaller stones and then some sand, and they said, put these all in this jar. One put the sand in, and then the little stones, and tried to get the big stones in. There was no room for them. But the other that put the big stones in first, then where the little stones could fit in around, and then the sand would go in around, it would all fit in the jar. It's a simple illustration. Certainly true when it comes to the things that we are told to do, the things that are to be our priorities. If we get them, we put the priorities in first, put the important things, the things that have to be, you put them in first, and then you can begin to fit the other things in around them. Look at Haggai, the fifth verse. Because the Lord tells him, he says, you need to consider your ways. Consider your ways, he said. Thus saith the Lord. He tells him, I want you to see what has been happening. I want you to understand what has been taking place. He says there, you have sown much, verse 6. And you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. He's letting them know there that, look, this is what's been happening. This is what's been happening. You're getting things, but there's no satisfaction there. You're working and laboring for yourself, and boy, you think you got something built up. You're getting a little bit built up in your savings. All of a sudden, it's gone because something else has come up, and it's like putting You earn wages and it's put into a bag with holes. Yes, you looked for much and it came to little when you brought it home. Verse 9, he says that. In verse 9, he says, you thought you had much and it, all of a sudden it wasn't much. He says, when you brought it home, what's the Lord say? He said, I did blow on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because mine house that is waste, and you run every man to his own house. He said, therefore the heavens over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Verse 11, I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, upon men and cattle and all their labor. You see, they don't have the blessing of the Lord. They haven't put the Lord first. And so the Lord says, when you brought it home, he said, I just went. It went here and it went there. It went here and it went there because the Lord was not first. You know, we often only give the Lord what we think we can afford, not what he asks. And that's to our discredit, because what happens is we end up the poorer. We end up the poorer because we've not honored God, because we've not blessed God. We don't think that we can afford the time. Well, they probably were saying, well, I think the Lord will understand. You know, we just don't think it's quite time to do what the Lord told us to do. That'll come at another time. The Lord revealed that's what was in their heart. The Lord revealed that they were doing things for themselves without care for the things of God. You know, how important it is that we put the Lord first in our lives. Somebody was saying today, as they were talking out in the foyer, about you come down the road and here's all this big farm equipment out on the road. You look out in the fields. They're out there working. Hey, we got to get the crops in, right? We got to do that. The Lord's day? Well, what is the Lord's day? I've got to get these things done. It's going to rain tomorrow. This is nice today. We don't see an honoring of the Lord's day, do we? Used to be. Used to be there would be very few farmers out in the field. Used to be that, and it hasn't been until just very recently, at least the animals got a rest. Stepped out the door this morning, and the first thing, boom, whoa, what was that? I assume it was somebody shooting a turkey. I don't know where it came from. Today is for man's pleasure. Today is for man's work. Go out and have your pleasure. Sometimes we think, hey, it's on sale today. I got to go today. I got to go to the store today because it's on sale and it's not going to cost me as much. There are a few that really will honor the Lord today and give him his due, give him his day, a day of worship, a day of rest. Did you hear the words of Haggai? You hear what was happening back then? all the things that they thought they needed, the Lord took them away. They didn't have. He blew on what they had. He called for a drought on the land, and so the land didn't produce. He called for that was upon men and upon cattle and upon the labor of their hands. It just didn't come to fruition what was needed because they would not put the Lord first. What the world does, we can't make the world honor the Lord's Day. We can't make the world put the Lord first. These were scriptures that were given to God's people. We need to put the Lord first. The Lord's got to be first in our lives. What does it mean when it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness"? Set apart the Lord in your hearts. If you're going to put the Lord first, it's got to start in the heart, doesn't it? It isn't like, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this. No, first of all, start with your heart. Lord, I want what you want. Lord, your way is to be my way. So you set the Lord apart in your heart. You know, even as I've talked about the Lord's Day, we could talk about tithes and offerings. You know that if you're given because you have to give, boy, I just can't afford it, but I got to give, so I'm just, I guess I'll have to. Well, you miss the joy of you miss the joy of the Lord. I want to give unto the Lord. I'm going to set it aside. You decide in your hearts beforehand. But you know, but the Lord laid out. He's given some examples, but he tells us in Corinthians, this is to come from our heart. Make the Lord's, Lord, your ways and your will is going to be my first priority. It's not just in the couple things I've mentioned today. It's in everything in our life. Lord, you're first. I will make my decision. I'll make my decision on where I work based upon the principles you give me in your word. I'll make my decisions about where I go and when I go there based upon, God, what is your will for me? And what is the promise of the Lord? What is the promise of the Lord? Look at the seventh verse here of Haggai 1. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. There was the promise there. The promise there that was given. You want to do, you know, just so we do what the Lord gives us to do. And that's where we come when the second verse that I read there back in Ezra, it said that Zerubbabel then took charge and went. And we see that same thing here in the 12th verse of Haggai. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them, and the people did fear before the Lord. So there we see them obeying the voice of the Lord. And look at verse 13 of Haggai 1. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Isn't that something? They're putting the Lord first. They're getting their priority back. They've repented. They're obeying the Lord. And now instead of the Lord blowing on what they have, taking away, he said, what's he say? He says, now I am with you, saith the Lord. Do you want the Lord with you? Or do you want him, when you're going against him, blowing on this, blowing on that? What a blessing it is. So when you come to the 14th verse there in Haggai 1, you see the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the spirit of all the remnant of the people. They came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. God then gives his blessing and the victory that is there. You go back, let's go back to Ezra in that fifth chapter. Ezra in that fifth chapter. And when you read on from there, from the third verse down to the end of the chapter in Ezra chapter 5, yes, they had some of the same problems. Verse 3, Tatnai, the governor on this side of the river, and these, they come together and they're questioning, who's told you to do this? But we see in the fifth verse, in the first part of the verse, it says, but the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews. There's God's blessing. The eye of the Lord was upon them. We see the work was unstoppable. They weren't, it says, but they couldn't cause them to cease. You see, now the eye of the Lord is upon them. Now they can't make them cease. And now they're running their appeal. And when you come to the rest of the chapter here in Ezra 5, now what they do is, yes, these now, these 15 years later, now they are telling you you've got to cease. Now they send a letter unto Darius, who's now the king, and you see that in verse 7. They send unto Darius. They tell him what the Jews are saying, that they were told, yes, that you are to do this, that it was an order that was given back by Cyrus. And what happens in that? What happens in that is, well, it isn't. You don't find the answer until you come to chapter 6, where Darius makes search and finds out it was true. But you see, they ran their appeal. They kept their eyes upon the Lord's work. They're doing the Lord's work, and so it's not able to cease even through all of their what their enemies were trying to do them from verses 6 through 17. You see, God gave his blessing, and God gave victory when they followed the Lord in what he gave them to do. Is there something for us to learn there today about putting the Lord first, doing the Lord's work, and then seeing that the Lord will supply all our needs by his glory and by his riches in Christ Jesus? Do we need God's word brought to us today to bring us out of our procrastination, out of our complacency, or out of our misplaced priorities? What is it that's keeping us from doing what the Lord wants us to do? Is it, well, it's not time yet, procrastination? Or is it just complacency? Oh, I'll get around to it. Or is it our priorities are in the wrong place? How foolish we are not to keep the Lord first in our lives, to think that we cannot afford to give him his due. Isn't that what usually comes down to? We can't afford to give the Lord his due. And what do we bring to ourselves? What did it bring to them? It brought to them poverty. It brought to them, when they sought to build and bring to themselves, they were out of the blessing of the Lord, and it didn't, in the end, really benefit them. May we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that he's able to supply our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. May the Lord be first. It starts in our hearts. Lord, you know, that's a good place to start this morning, is just pray and say, Lord, you've not been first in maybe a particular area. Maybe it might not even be anything that I've preached on this morning, but you know there's an area that's where the Lord hasn't been first. In that, you just say, Lord, this is wrong. I've sinned against you and not having you first in this area of my life. So in your heart, you sanctify the Lord God in your heart. You put the Lord first. And then, as you repent before the Lord, say, Lord, I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to put you first in that. Then we do it. That's where we have the blessing and the victory of our God. When we put him first, then these other things that, then all these things shall be added unto you, the Lord says. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, from this lesson back from the Old Testament. Lord, where you show us how you dealt with a people that had lost their priority. Oh, Lord, may we learn today. And Lord, help us each one. Lord, everyone here that knows you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, help them to see where you're not, where they have taken place and where you're not Lord, where you've not been put in first place. And then, Lord, help them to repent of that. Then put you first. Trust in you. Minister to our hearts this morning, Lord. Thank you for this time that we're able to be in your word. In the quietness of this moment, Lord, where you minister to our hearts through your Spirit. We pray these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.